alternative, if you will, at least, to 382 Hewlett Cross.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this time that we can be together to be with fellow Christians and those that we worship here with on a regular basis. We're thankful for study that we had tonight and for Rex's ability to teach us. We are so thankful for the gift of your Son and your Word, which tells us the story of His life and His love for us. And we pray that we will have the right relationship with you and the right relationship with each other, and we can be an encouragement to one another as we work together and strive to go to heaven. Please be with those that are away from us tonight, especially Sister Beth. We pray that she'll be feeling better soon. And we're so thankful for the good news about her sister Sarah. And we pray that her health will continue to improve. Also ask for your blessings upon Michael as he is away from us, and pray for his safe travels. We're thankful for each and every one of the Christians that gather here together and for their encouragement one to another. We pray that we will be good examples to one another and to those in the world around us, and that we'll use the opportunities that we have to show others the love that you had for us, and our desire to only be pleasing to you and to spread the good news of your gospel. Please help us as we live each day to pattern ourselves after your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his perfect life for us so that we can have remission of our sins. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
I've got perhaps a bit of a simple lesson this evening between a comparison of Romans 8 and a story from Joshua that we've seen. But I figured it might bring some, in light of our recent study, it might bring a couple new things to mind and perhaps be able to glean more from the Word, as is our goal every day. So this comparison is probably not unfamiliar to you, but we'll start by reading Romans chapter 8 to refresh what we've studied there. We'll read verses 12 through 30 of Romans chapter 8. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So as we've studied, we've seen how with the spirit of adoption, as in verse 15, we are made sons of the Father, we are made heirs of God, and we are made joint heirs with Christ. So this connection is making us brethren with Christ as the firstborn, as in verse 29. As we are delivered from corruption to liberty, as in verse 21. So with these things in mind, you might even want to hold your place in Romans as we compare the two passages. But we'll go to Genesis chapter 44. Genesis chapter 44. And for this, we'll read starting in verse 24 and read through 25 in verse 15. We'll pick up as Judah is pleading his case to Joseph about his father and brothers. And keep in mind the spiritual principles that I've pointed out and we've read in Romans 8, and to see how they play out physically in this example here. So I'll start reading from verse 24 of chapter 44. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then will we go down. For we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant my father said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say it unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt, come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household, and all that thou hast, come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And so Joseph's story, as we know, has many reflections of Christ. Before Joseph's revelation, his brothers did not come to him as brethren. They approached as strangers, as servants. They approached royalty. They approached their better, and they the one who held all the power in this specific situation. And what they found when approaching this royalty is a brother. They found a brother that is still royalty, a brother still who held the power, but no longer a distant ruler, someone that they have and can have a close connection and relationship with. But at the same time, it is a brother that they have mocked and they have scorned and sold into slavery. Even with all that they'd done to him, all these things work to good for them that love God, which applies to Joseph and still applies to Jesus too. And in a time of famine, when the seeming whole of creation groans and travails in pain together, God sent preservation. He sent salvation. In the same way, Joseph and his brothers were connected as brothers again. And we can be connected with Christ and saved in similar circumstance as to this story. When we might approach expecting harsh retribution for our actions as we deserve, if we approach with humility and with repentance, as Joseph's brothers did, we can receive the same reaction as they did, overwhelming love and salvation and kinship. Joseph clearly still loved his brothers, even after all their evil against him, for he saw the grander purpose. And Jesus is the same way, wishing that we would come to him to provide place, to nourish us, and to preserve us, and to be brethren, and to have us led by the Spirit to be the sons of God and brethren with him. If you've not come to join in the brotherhood with Christ as your loving Savior, or if you've neglected that relationship and wish to repent, we ask that you please come forward as we stand and sing.
Let us pray. Our dear, merciful,
Heavenly Father, we come to you with humility and prayer and with a great honor that we can come to you through your Son. We thank you for the ability you've given to us to come together so that we can encourage each other and learn more about your word as we delve deeper into it. We thank you for the word that you've given to us, the promise that it holds, and the guide that it is in our lives. We ask that you help those who could not join us, that they may be able to get over, whether it be a physical or a spiritual problem, and whether they're weak or strong, that they can come to us so that we can guide them as best as we can through the guidance of your word. We ask that you help us to go out throughout our lives and shine your light into the world as we bring others to you, and that we have patience and wisdom in our dealings. We thank you for sending your Son to die on that horrible cross so we can have the hope of eternal life with you in heaven. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.